All right, well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sarah Yates. I'm a program analyst with NACHO, which I'm learning that no one knows how to pronounce except the 150 of us who work there. So, that's all right. We're the National Association of County and City Health Officials. One line that I think got chopped off of my bio is that I strive to improve the lives of people with disabilities, especially my brother. Everything I do is for him. So, I'm sad to report I have no personal financial relationships or commercial interests with anything. I'm very poor, so I have nothing to disclose. I'm going to talk today about, I'm going to give a little overview of NACHO and talk about our health and disability portfolio. And I'm also, the real portion of the presentation is talking about some health department programs that NACHO funded to measure and address obesity specifically in people with disabilities. So NACHO, if you don't already know, represents the 2,800 local health departments across the country. Our mission and vision focus on health equity and health promotion for all members of the community. Our programmatic portfolio includes community health, environmental health, public health infrastructure and systems, and public health preparedness. So we cover a wide gamut of programs. Our health and disability work, we focus on community health as well as public health preparedness. So obesity, chronic disease, as well as personal and community plans for emergency. Our health and disability project has been funded for the last 8 years by the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're in our second year of funding through the ARC of the United States Health Meet program, which is also funded through the center. The goal of our project is to encourage local health departments to engage and include people with disabilities in the development and implementation of public health programs, products, and services so that it's a seamless integration. We really want health departments to find integration to be the easy just the easy way to move ahead with whatever work that they are doing. We, over the last 8 years, have had a number of accomplishments in trying to meet our goal. Our NACHO toolbox includes over 90 health and disability tools. We have model practices related to health and disability. And we provide training and technical assistance and tools and resources to health departments in a wide variety of programs. So that was a very brief overview. If you have any questions about that, I'm glad to address them during Q&A or after the session. For the rest of my time, I'm going to talk about programs that NACHO funded at local health departments between 2011 and 2012 to measure and address obesity in people with disabilities. We did this through funding two different programs, Healthy Living for People with Disabilities and Obesity in Children and Adolescents with Disabilities. And we funded four health departments, two in each program. And as you likely know, people with disabilities are, in many key areas, are found to be below optimal levels of health. We know they're more likely to smoke, less likely to engage in physical activity, and they're much more likely to be obese than their peers without disabilities. And so the graphs here, I borrowed these from the CDC's website. And when you look at the difference, the 58 obesity rates for adults with disabilities are 58% higher than for adults without disabilities. And obesity rates for children with disabilities are 38% higher than for children without disabilities. And we and the CDC decided that this is really where we wanted to focus local health department. So we funded the four health departments, and they did measurement of obesity in people with disabilities in their jurisdiction through four different methods. And I'm going to talk a little bit about each method, and then I have some conclusions. So in the Promoting Healthy Living for People with Disabilities program, we encourage local health departments to either receive training or adapt a curriculum in an evidence-based health promotion program. And the way we wanted to get data through this program was through measurement of short-term outcomes and, if possible, long-term outcomes. Now, the issue was with the way funding and contracts work, they only had 9 months to do the work, so there are no long-term outcomes. The first health department was in Lee County, which is in Illinois. They were already trained in the chronic disease self-management program, and using materials from the chronic disease self-management education program, and by tailoring the program specifically to their audience, they adapted that to work with 27 people with disabilities in their jurisdiction. I have a couple extra minutes, so I'll also talk about in doing this, they did a lot of communications work to get people with disabilities to come to their training and to provide health education to people with disabilities. They realized in doing this that not only was the health department's health education material not accessible, but their emergency preparedness materials were not inclusive and accessible. So they used the work that they were doing through NACHO to also develop and improve their emergency preparedness materials. I don't have formal data on their short-term outcomes. Again, like I said, it was a nine-month program, and so they did say anecdotally that self-management did appear to be working for their participants. So the other health department funded through the Healthy Lifestyles for the Healthy Living Program was Genesee County, which is in Flint, Michigan. And they received training in the Healthy Lifestyles Program, which was developed by the Oregon Health Science University. And they provided training to 18 people with disabilities. They had significant difficulties with transportation to their sessions, as well as participant attrition. They had a very high dropout rate. They started at more than 25 people. And they, at the end of their session, their anecdotally, again, their short-term outcomes appeared to be successful. The participants in their trainings formed a walking club and were meeting independent of the health department intervention. However, when the funding from NACHO went away, there was no funding for anyone to process the data that they had received. The person who was working on the grant was moved to a different division. So for the other two health departments who we funded in the Obesity and Children and Adolescents with Disabilities program, we were looking specifically to assess the prevalence of obesity in children and adolescents with disabilities in the jurisdiction. And the two health departments who were selected for this both ended up being in Montana and chose different methods of coming up with this data. We also asked them to do some intervention or at least come up with an action plan for intervention. We assumed going into this, based on what we know about national data, that their assessment would show that the obesity rates were higher for children and adolescents with disabilities. So Riverstone Health, which is Yellowstone City County Health Department in Billings, Montana, proposed to determine the prevalence of obesity by combining different data sources from national and state level and extrapolating down to the county level. What they found, they used data from WIC, Head Start, the National Survey on Children's Health, and their county community health assessment, which did not collect data on disability. They wanted to be able to do BMI assessments, but the political climate in their community did not allow for that to take place. So unfortunately, due to their very small population, county-level data was pretty much impossible for them to extract from the data that they had. The data they were able to collect, so this slide has a graph on it showing the weight status of Montana children ages 10 to 17 based on BMI. And when you look at all children and adolescents in Montana, ages 10 to 17, 26% are overweight or obese. This next graph shows data comparing children with and without special health care needs in Montana, relevant to their body mass index, or BMI. 23% of children without special health care needs are overweight or obese, while 32% of children with special health care needs are overweight or obese. So, like I said, the available data made it very difficult for the health department to extrapolate down to the county level, But what they were able to, this slide shows yet another graph, showing that children with special health care needs in Montana, while they are less likely to be overweight or obese than children with special health care needs nationally, they're much more likely to be overweight or obese than their peers in Montana, their peers without disabilities, excuse me. So even though Riverstone was not able to get the data that they really wanted to get, what this did was prove to the health department that they needed to find a way to get this information. And so they provide school nurses, in the county, and so they are probably going to be adding BMI assessments to the services provided by the school nurses, which will get them better data. They are also, through this project, they were working with their Healthy by Design Alliance, which does their community health assessment and community health improvement process, and they will be including youth and disability as categories in their next community health assessment in 2015. So even though they weren't able to extrapolate down to the data that they really wanted, it showed them that they needed to find other ways to get that data. So the Missoula City County Health Department was the final health department that we funded. They determined the prevalence of obesity in children and adolescents with disabilities by doing BMI assessments in schools. They were able to do this. They were already doing BMI assessments of students in various grades in schools in Missoula County, but they were not inclusive of children in special education. So using the funding from NACHO, the health department expanded their assessments to include children and adolescents in special education, students with disabilities. They also did several different interventions, including providing some nutrition information to the students who came for BMI assessments who were found to be outside the normal range. So if they were overweight or obese, they weren't able to provide as much information as they wanted. Schools found that to be too intrusive into students' health information. So Missoula was able to gather an immense data set using this method, but they did not, I don't think they anticipated what they were going to come up with. And so they didn't have a researcher on their program, so they reached out to Megan Tracy, who's at the University of Montana, who I'm really glad is not here to see me butcher her charts. Anyway, so they were glad to be able to do that. This was a significant amount of data for a very small budget without a researcher. As I said, the biggest challenge that they faced was working with schools and parents to extend this program to children in special education. Schools and parents were worried about bullying and ostracizing students with disabilities further, but Missoula Health Department educated schools and parents about how obesity is a huge problem, and it affects quality of life and health and self-esteem, excuse me. So this next slide has pictures of the equipment and educational materials that Missoula County used when doing their BMI assessments. There's a scale, a stadiometer. They have some education models. I believe that one of them is supposed to be fat, and one of them is showing an artery with a blocked artery. The last thing that they used was a poster showing the amount of sugar in different sugar-sweetened beverages. And most of the BMI assessments that they did in the schools ended up being near soda machines. I don't know whether that means that there are enough soda machines in schools that no matter where they do it, they're going to be near one, or if it was just luck. But they were able to use the time while students were waiting in line for their assessment to provide education about sugar-sweetened beverages. So this slide shows the data that they collected about obesity in children in Missoula County. In the upper left, we show the normal bell curve, where you would expect the majority to be in the middle. As you can see in all of the other charts, the curve skews towards obesity. And I will read off the BMI percentiles for all students, both in special education and not in special education, was 63.9. The mean for students without, they separated students by with and without individualized education plans. So the mean for students without IEP is lower at 62.4. The mean BMI percentile for children with IEP was higher at 68.3. Another interesting thing about their data is that because they were doing this for children throughout the time they were in school in Missoula, and that they were able to add in students with IEP, so students in special education, they're able to see across the time that students are in school that BMI percentages are increasing, especially for students with IEP. Mary Pittaway at Missoula County would be very upset if I didn't include this slide. They believe that their research project suggests that school policies to support healthy nutrition and physical activity are urgently needed for students and are more urgently needed for children with special needs. Okay. I think I did these in wrong. That's okay. So, really, just to summarize here, in order to get the information that health departments need, short-term outcomes were not very effective at producing any of that systems change, but looking at, even looking at the national data, which is not necessarily very, you can't really extrapolate down to the county level, but looking at BMI assessments or national data that really can show this disparity is most helpful to health departments. In Missoula, they were able to, they had a lot of interventions that they were able to do, especially using the data that they collected. Okay, so NACHO has developed a tip sheet on inclusion of people with disabilities in public health programs. It's available on our website if you work for a health department or you work with a health department. It's available, like I said, in our bookstore, but it's also available in NACHO's booth at the exhibit hall. And I think that's it. So there's my contact information, and I have time for questions now. Okay. And I will repeat back any questions. So the question is, you were interested to see that they were both in Montana and that there were some problems executing the work that they were intended to do. And the question is that because of the pool of applicants? And was there anything else? Sure. So the selection for these sites, we did a request for applications from all 2,800 local health departments as far as we could push it. I think we had 13 applications for 4 funding opportunities. They were reviewed by peers, including people at CDC, people at state, the CDC state grantees, as well as other folks at local health departments. They were scored. And these were the 4 that rose to the top, and the 2 in each category. There was one other health department who was one of the selected health departments, but by the time between the time they applied and the time that we notified them, they had a huge reduction in staff and could no longer carry out the project. I think a couple of the problems was that it was a $10,000 award, and there wasn't really a whole lot that folks could do with that kind of money. So we worked with them to try and develop the best work plans that they could carry out in what ended up being 9 months with very limited funds. Sure. So the question is, how do we define disability, and then how do we measure these questions based on that? NACHO, what our Health and Disability Project, we do not define disability. We talk about prevention of secondary conditions. So if anyone has We don't define it. We allowed the health departments to use any of the federal definitions, and we worked with them in determining how they want how it was going to work best in their community. So we do not define disability. The way that this rolled out, the question is there any, could we use the promising practices from this and fund it again with maybe fewer amount of health departments at a higher rate? That captures, okay. So the way this rolled out is that we only had the $20,000 to provide to two health departments, and we went back and funded two more. And that was how our funder wanted to do it. So I think that if we had the opportunity, that would really be our preference. Our preference, of course, would be to fund a lot of health departments with a lot of money, but we work in the real world. So if we could have a little bit more money for one or two health departments to focus on these or some of our other practices we've identified as promising in different health promotion areas, I think that would really be what we would like to do. You have a question?
Chronic disease self-management program, what model is that?
The question is, the chronic disease self-management program, what model is that? That is developed by Stanford University, and I don't know if I don't know if I know much more about it than. All right, you're good.
Okay.
Thanks. Do you have a question? Yeah, I probably have more information about that from our grantees' final report, but I do know that part of what they did was based specifically on the people who were in the 27 participants. I know that they went to a work site and did it at a work site where it's people with disabilities. It sounds like a sheltered employment situation. So they tailored it specifically to the people in that program. So I can go back and look. If you give me your card after, I can tell you specifically what they did. Anybody else? You? Go ahead.
And I may have just forgotten in the last, 10 minutes, but was there any sort of information about people who took pre-existing programs and just invited other people with disabilities in rather than try to create something brand new for a population that might experience a disability?
Sure. So that's basic. The question is, was there anyone who had adapted their program or to be more inclusive of people with disabilities instead of developing a new program? That is, in some ways, what they did in Lee County. They were already using the chronic disease self-management program in the community. They were providing health education courses, using that model. And so they just expanded it to be a little bit more inclusive of the populations we're thinking about. So not just looking at people with arthritis and diabetes, but looking more at people with other disabilities. And I don't know exactly which. They were very cross-cutting. So that was the closest.
So one out of three, one out of four.
Well, and the Missoula County, they were doing BMI assessments in schools, but it was not inclusive of children in special education. And so that's why they were able to expand that program. So yeah, I guess we had two who expanded what they were doing. The other thing is that I didn't talk about this in Riverstone, which is Yellowstone County. They were already developing their 5210 messaging, which I wrote down what it is. I hope everybody knows it. Five or more fruits or vegetables, 2 hours or less screen time, 1 hour of physical activity, and zero sugary drinks. So that's their messaging that they're using. It sounds like at least Riverstone, I don't know if it's used more broadly than that. But they did focus groups, I don't know if we called them focus groups, but with parents of children with disabilities as well as with providers who work with people with disabilities to find out how to adapt that message so that it would be useful for children and adolescents with disabilities. So they also enhanced some of what they were already doing. I think that's it.